I'm going to read from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 4. I looked, and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal. And in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was that of a man. But each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the heads of a man. All four of them had faces and wings. And their wings touched one another, and each one went straight ahead, and they did not turn as they moved. And their faces looked like this. Each of the four had a face of a man. And on the right side, each had the face of a lion. On the left face, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out upward. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of another creature on either side, and two wings covering its body. Each went straight ahead, and wherever the spirit would go, they would go, without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire, or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures, and it was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. And as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like crystal light, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not turn about as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved, and when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And when the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, they also stood still. And when the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice and awesome. Under the expanse, their wings were stretched out one toward the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Then there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. And above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. We serve a mighty God. I love how it explains the creatures that are serving God. It takes a lot of time, and those creatures are awesome. And then it says, and then there is one above. You think his creatures are awesome. Then there's God. And there's Jesus on his throne. We serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God, and nothing else matters. That word that Julie spoke there at the very beginning, it's just so sticking with me through the worship, and goes along with what I feel the Lord has laid on my heart today, and what we're singing here, what we sang, and just a passage like this, and nothing else matters. We need to be careful with that, because We can get into fatalism real easy there. So there's a cliff, and I want you to be aware of that cliff. I don't want us to become fatalistic. I don't want us to become hardened. But nothing else matters. You know, we're praying for James and Amanda, and you've never met Amber, but Amber is Amanda's twin sister, and or maybe you have. Maybe she has come here once a long time ago. Yeah, she did, a while ago. Some of you have met her, and many of you have never met Rob and Judy, their parents, and they're all wonderful, and they're going through a hard time right now. Now, I'm so glad we don't have visitors right now. And anyone listening online, please understand my heart. It doesn't matter that they're leaving Thailand. It doesn't matter. Because God is on his throne. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying it won't have consequences. I'm not saying that when the enemy battles and when he has small victories like this, because I believe it is, there is a victory for the enemy in this, and yet God has bigger plans. And I'm not saying that there won't be consequences and people's lives, you know, won't be affected and all of that. I'm not saying that, but it doesn't matter. God is on his throne. And I don't, again, I understand that this is a very narrow path, what I'm saying here. There's cliffs on both sides. And it's this place of, no, we want to walk out life faithfully. We want to battle. We are called to battle. But nothing will dethrone God. Let me bring it a little closer to home. I'm going to pick on George a little bit here. We praise God that he got good news, but if he would have gotten bad news, if someone would have said, you have heart issues, and this will sound weird, it wouldn't matter. Yes, it would matter to us, especially to his family, but we're kind of your family too. But God would still be on his throne. We're praying for Mike, right? For Michael. And we pray that there would be healing. We pray that God would just come and touch him. I'm reading in the Gospels right now, and the amount of people who just want to get close to Jesus just to touch him. Let me just touch you. Can I just touch you? Can I just even touch your clothes, please? You know, because I know that there's power to heal, and Jesus wants to heal. It's in his heart to heal. He loves healing. He loves bringing freedom, physical freedom, emotional freedom, spiritual freedom, all of it. He loves pouring out life. But whether we're healed or not, whether Michael is healed or not, God is still on his throne. God is still in control. We are to bring our requests to God. We are to make known to him what we would and what we would like, if you will. And often I know that for us at least, and much of the church, we want life, and that is a good prayer. We want healing. That's a good prayer. We want reconciliation and restoration. Those are great prayers. But at the end of it, God is on the throne one way or the other. He cares for us, don't get me wrong. And he wants to heal. But there is this reality. And again, this is a hard one, so you got to stick with me here, because there is a reality, though, where everything grows strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Everything. Everything. Success, failure, hurt, pain, sickness, health, friends, foes. It just grows dim It just grows dim when you're in his presence and you fall face down, realizing who we serve. All of a sudden, we see that this life is a vapor. And I'm not saying we shouldn't pray about this life. We should. This is the life we've been given, but it's a vapor. And one day we will come to this realization. We will see face to face. We will know fully, even as we are fully known, that so many of the things that occupy our hearts and our minds, and I'm not talking the small stuff. I'm not talking the little stuff like, oh, Lord, I hope it doesn't rain today so we can have a picnic. Like, I'm not even talking that stuff. I'm talking stuff like, oh, Lord, heal my heart, like my physical heart. Oh, Lord, take away these tumors. Oh, Lord, let us go back to Thailand to see people set free from sex slavery and the sex trade. Oh, Lord, like, I'm talking those things. And yet, 100 years from now, we'll see. 1,000 years from now, we'll see God's on his throne. And these things, God is using all these things. And he's not caught off guard. His throne isn't in jeopardy. The enemy has nothing on God. What the enemy intends for evil, God intends for good. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't weep with those who weep. Like, that's the cliff, right? I don't want us to become callous and just say, what does it matter? God's on the throne. I'm dying and I'm hurting. God's on his throne. I got chronic pain in my back. God's on his throne. Get over it, you know? No, that's not what we're saying. We were just kicked out of Thailand and our family's in danger. You know what? God's on his throne. Deal with it. No, absolutely not. That's the cliff. We don't want to go there. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. And yet, just like the tongue last week and the interpretation, God's got this. God is not thrown off by this, by any of it. God's not thrown off by the tumors that have been found. God's not thrown off if you would have had something wrong with your heart. There isn't. Praise God. There is. Praise God. Right? Stay in Thailand, have 20 years of amazing ministry, 30, 40, 50 years of amazing ministry, see thousands rescued. Praise God! Join in the battle and are kicked out after a few months. Praise God! We serve the one, like the song we sang, we serve the one who rides on the storm. He's not blown all over a place by the storm. He's just like, I can ride on that. I'm above the storm. I created the storm. I'm above all. It just gives perspective. Again, I'm not saying we don't make our requests known to God. I'm not saying we don't intercede and intercede for life. We intercede for people. We intercede for justice. We intercede for wholeness. We intercede for people to be rescued and set free. We walk it all out. Because our God is a God who rescues. Our God is a God who pours out life. Our God is a God who is life. Yet he's above it all. You know, we sometimes sing that song, "You're the one that really matters." It's so true. And as we keep our eyes fixed on him, one way or the other, in a victory or in a defeat, there is life. In a storm or on a beautiful day, there is life. There's life. If we fix our eyes on him, if we remain in the eye of that storm, in the very heart of it where there's peace and stillness, we see, or like there's peace and stillness today without any storm around, but then there is a storm, to remain in that center. And it's, you matter, Lord. You are the one. You have this. You've got this. It was so neat because we got an email from Amber. So Amanda's sister, we got an email from her on then Tuesday night, and I read it at like 11:30 or something that night. And I just immediately felt led to share the tongue, like the what we experienced on Sunday with the tongue and the interpretation of that tongue. And so I just shared with her. I just, you know, wrote her. I didn't write her with my pen. Wrote her with my computer, and just shared. Because I felt led. Like, I know that the tongue was for us, but I just felt like it was for her at that moment too. And so I shared the interpretation of surrender. I've got this. I've got this, and no other, and so on and so forth. And then, like, my rest is over you. I forget the fourth and fifth part of it. You have it written down there. Somewhere. Yeah, just remind us of it.
Surrender, I've got this, no other encouragement. Keep going. I'm here. God's rest.
Oh, yeah. Keep going. I'm here. God's rest is over us. And she wrote back then the next day. She's like, thank you so much. And when I read it, I was crying because that's exactly what God has been speaking to me. It doesn't mean we don't weep with those who weep. It doesn't mean they don't weep and they shouldn't feel that pain and sorrow, because God is weeping. God is weeping over Thailand. God is weeping over those little girls and boys who are abused and taken advantage of and wronged. And he weeps over the injustice, absolutely. So we weep over it and we allow it to touch us deeply. We don't become calloused and hard. But we lift our eyes and we see his throne is still firmly established. And it's not a place of, and one day it'll be great. No, I don't want to minimize. It's a place, like Julie was saying, you can't put it into words. As soon as you start trying, you don't do it justice. We weep and we hurt, and yet it's not that we don't matter or that the situation doesn't matter in some ways, but in other ways, it's this place of, oh, but God, you're still God. As I was thinking about this as we were worshiping, I thought of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they were just able to walk in the fire, walk in the midst of the fire, this crazy hot furnace that's heated seven times hotter than, I don't know what Nebuchadnezzar was thinking. I got to kill you seven times worse than it would normally kill you. You know, it's just odd to me, right? And yet they're walking around and they don't even smell like smoke. But I love what they say beforehand. Before they know whether they're going to be rescued or not, basically they say, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if I'm rescued or not. It doesn't matter if I'm about to burn or if I'm about to be saved. It doesn't matter. Because God. So whether you have a victory in this moment or not, Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Whether our prayers are answered or not, it doesn't matter. Yes, we're praying for life. Because God is life, we're praying for rescue because God is the rescuer. But in some ways, I guess what they're kind of saying to Nebuchadnezzar is, we're already rescued. Even if we die in the furnace, we're already rescued. It's already finished. It's already done. Whether that rescue manifests itself in this moment or not, it doesn't matter. We bless God on the beautiful days, we bless God on the hard days, not because theology tells us to, not because, well, he's God and I'm not, blessed be your name, you know, you give and take away and all that. Yeah, but it's this place of, because he is, I don't know, just because he is great, he is one, he is in control, all these things, but even better than, and even greater than attaching, I don't know what that is, an adverb or an adjective or whatever it is at the end, like, he is great, he is sovereign, he is Lord, even better than all of that is just, he is. Yes, he's the one who rides on the storm, but he also just is. I hope that makes sense. I was praying, it was neat. So the week before, Amber sent us the email, and then we got some email from Amanda and that as well. I was praying for them, and it really makes sense now. Like, it's funny how God works. Because I was going over in my mind and something that Carlene and I have taught a little bit on. I don't know if I've taught it a lot here yet, but from Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about Ephesians 4:26, where it talks about don't let the sun go down on your anger. And as I was meditating on that verse, I just thought of Amber and Amanda and Rob and Judy and just how every day they probably have to take that verse to heart and bring their anger to the Lord and just lay it down at his feet. Because we've taught, and like this started when Carlene heard a sermon on it over a year ago kind of thing, where that verse talks about even your holy anger, you can't hold on to your holy anger till the end of the day. You can't let the sun set on your holy anger even. Because you can't handle it. You can't even handle your holy anger. Trust me, it's all going to tie in here. But you can't even handle that. So even I was thinking of Amber and Amanda and seeing the injustice done to children and the injustice of all that's... No, Joel. Say happy birthday to him. But like we can't even handle our holy anger, and they're seeing the injustices, but it's so weighty that if we hold on to our holy anger even, we become bitter and we become frustrated and despondent and all of that. And so even our holy anger, we bring to the Lord and we lay it at his feet and say, only you can carry this, Lord. Only you can carry this. I can't carry it. And so I was praying that for them, and then we get this news. It's like, oh my goodness. And they're talking about, and we don't know the specifics, but they're talking about being betrayed and just God is taking them to the cross, like the passages about the cross and the passages about how Judas betrayed Christ and all the insults and everything. And they're just experiencing this and they're being hurt and just, and it's like, oh, now it makes sense. Those prayers for you, even before I knew about this, I was just thinking just the general ministry that you're doing, but now added this, and oh Lord, we just bring it to you over and over and over again. And I talked about last week about how we just lay things at Jesus' feet. We lay people at Jesus' feet. We just, Lord, may you lay your hands on this, and I just leave it there. But then I think about what God is ministering to me today, and just I lay myself at your feet as well. And yeah, the things of earth grow strangely dim. And nothing else matters because I'm safe here with you. And even, that's even the wrong wording. It's not about safety even. It's just, I'm with you and here there is life even in the midst of death. With you is life even in the midst of betrayal. With you is life even in the midst of anger And so I can give those things to you. And actually, when we're in his presence, we don't even necessarily, like if we're truly in his presence, we don't even necessarily have to actively maybe take this with a grain of salt, but actively give those things over to him. Because if we're truly in his presence, they will just fall at his feet anyways. And those things that we felt we were holding on to, or those things that were holding on to us, again, just seem to grow dim and light, and not that there's not weight to it. I hope I'm making sense. But we just come to you and take our anger, take our frustration, take our fear of death, take our fear of sickness, take our fear of losing loved ones. Take it all, Lord. And just, I want to rest in your presence. I just want to be in you. I just want to be with you. I just want to be. Do you understand that? There's a pause there. I just want to be. and I want to be while I'm with you. And his life just overwhelms us. His power just overwhelms. His majesty just overwhelms. He has this in control. And so then we can concentrate, when we just walk in his presence, we can just concentrate on being who we're called to be. Then we can be life in dark situations. We can be filled with joy even in the midst of sorrow. We can speak life over people even as they're hurling insults at us. We can pray for people even as they're crucifying us. Just talking about Jesus, right? Like that whole, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. We can walk that out. We can live that out. Not even having to remind ourselves to live it out, but if we just are in his presence, we will walk it out. Because his heart becomes our heart. And all of a sudden we find ourselves riding on the storm. It's just him. And again, it's on the one hand, it's not that things don't matter, but on the other hand, they don't. Can I share what Nick said? Like, do you think that would be okay? So Nick, Mike's brother, from what Lily has shared with us, Nick is in grade 3 about, right? And he's kind of this place of, well, if Mikey dies, that's okay. Like, why would anyone be sad? Because he'll be with Jesus. Now, I understand that that's the innocence of a child, and, oh, you don't understand the weight of it. But maybe he does. Or maybe he doesn't understand the weight of it, but he understands the weight of God and the reality. And again, I don't want to, the cliffs are so close, right? I don't want to go to this place of just treating lightheartedly trials and tribulations, especially of other people. I don't want to treat my own trials and tribulations lightly. I definitely don't want to treat others lightly. It's not about that, but it's that place of, like Jesus himself, sweat drops of blood at the thought of what was coming. And he asked the Father, take this cup from me. So I understand there's a weight, right? There's a weight to the trial. There's like weight, W-E-I? I before E, wait, except after C, or when uses A. So W-E-I, wait, right? There's a weight to the trial. It hurts. It's very real. It affects us. It's heavy. And yet, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And Jesus has the wherewithal to evangelize while he's on the cross. And Stephen has the wherewithal to evangelize as he's being stoned and his eyes are opened to the glory of heaven. And as we walk this out, and then all of a sudden, verses like we see in Romans 12, where we're supposed to bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, they become a lot more, I get that. How can I do that? Because their persecution doesn't matter. It doesn't. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying it's not weighty, but there's this perspective, there's this sight, there's this understanding that's deeper than understanding. If we saw what Ezekiel saw right now, if we looked out these windows and saw it coming towards us, this storm, with the glory of God above the storm and the living creatures and the wheels and all of it. If we saw what Isaiah saw when he describes the glory of God's robe filling the temple and all of that, if we saw, would anything else matter? So please hear me, and I know you understand. So anyone listening online who doesn't know me, like, please hear me. Please understand. On the one hand, I'm not saying things don't matter, because they matter to God. God cares about every single little thing that we go through. He really does. He cares about our little cuts and our little bruises. When Ellie fell before and, you know, she hurt herself and cried out, do you know that he's not sitting there saying, come on, it doesn't matter. No. He gets that same look that we all get, even those of us who aren't her parents. You know, we get that, gets a little sad pout, and she's hurt. He gets that same thing because he's a good father. Loves his children, loves us all. He understands, but he cares, but he also understands there's more. God is in control. He's got this. He's got this and no other. The worst of the enemy doesn't throw him off. Don't look at what has happened to James and Amanda from an earthly perspective. The earthly perspective might be, all that money that went into this, all that time planning. They moved their whole family. Now they got to relocate again. Oh, the poor kids, they're just probably all over the map. What's going on? You know, those little ones. God's got them. God has a plan. And again, not to trivialize. My heart breaks for them. I know, knowing Amber and Amanda and Rob and Judy, far worse. Far, 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 like 1,000 times worse than their lives being threatened is that they have to leave those kids, the kids that they were ministering to. And that's far harder for them than even the threat on their own lives. But God's got this. Not as a cliche, not as a bumper sticker, as a reality. So what does this mean practically for our lives? Because that's the question I hear ringing in my ears right now. So it means we still weep with those who weep. And we don't deny the feelings that we have. We take it to the Lord, just like Jesus took it to the Father. Father, if this cup can pass from me, so be it. Like, please let it pass. Please, please let this cup pass, Lord, from Amber and Amanda and James and Rob and Judy. Please, please let it pass from them that they could go back and minister. Please, please, please take away this cup. Take away the other tumor that's still in there that the doctors didn't have go after in surgery yet. Please. Please heal. Would you just touch him? And would you just touch Mikey and heal him? Would you, please, yes. But then it comes as well. But not my will, your will be done. I know you're over all. And I'm at rest in that. You're over all. You've got this. I know you do. I yield myself to you again. I choose to sit at your feet. And this is how we get there. Like, what we can practically do, we sit at his feet and we worship. We sit at his feet and stare at him. We meditate on who he is. We meditate on the great I am. We remind ourselves over and over and over again who it is we serve. See him. Close your eyes and see him high and lifted up, riding on that storm. See his throne, blazing fire, and Christ upon it, just glowing. See him, like it says in Revelation, eyes blazing fire, feet burnished bronze. See the ruler of all. And if you don't see it, pray for it. Lord, open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see this. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to just read about it. I want to see. I want to know. Not just know, but I want to know. In those places that are beyond understanding, I want to know. I want to know you. Just ask and continue to ask and continue to ask. Continue to press in and press in. And the fruit of it will be that the things of earth will grow dim. You will love more. Ironically, you will actually care more about these things than you used to. People's hurts and all of that. You will care more. And yet at the same time, you will see that it doesn't matter. Paradox.
Because when you know him, you will care you have his heart then.
Yeah.
So knowing him means knowing his love for others too.
Absolutely. Right?
But I just wanted to say too, like I what keeps going through my head is be still and know that I'm God, but yeah. Know means like intimately.
Yeah.
And being still, like I keep thinking about Lil when he said take a nap, because like
so good.
Who knows what's swirling around, right, in her mind and in her soul, and it's just like no, take a nap so I can teach you what I need to teach
yeah.
you. Be still, right?
Yeah. It's so good. It's so right. And so we leave everything at his feet. You know, I think about back to the passage with anger. We leave our holy anger at his feet. We leave our unholy anger at his feet. We leave our holy compassion at his feet. We leave our unholy compassion at his feet. We leave our holy sense of justice at his feet. We leave our unholy sense of justice at his feet. Because we've all got both. We've all got a mixture going on. And yeah, Lord, mature me to where I only have the holy left. But even that, I can't handle it. Like, holy sorrow. I've thought about this many times. I can't handle it. You let your mind wander to all the atrocities that are happening in this world right now. We can't handle it. There's so much wrong. So much. And we leave it at your feet, Lord. We leave it at your feet. You know what to do with it. You are great. You are the one we look to. I leave it at your feet. All that matters is you. And I know that you've got it all. And you are right. And you are good. That's what matters. I hope all that makes sense, and I know that it will be very easy to misunderstand, because even as I think about what I just said, it's... I hope I'm seeing it right, Lord. Especially the part about mattering and not mattering. But I just know in his presence, the answers are not necessarily, we're not able to explain them in a sermon or on a paper or in a book, but the answers are found, like Julie said, in knowing him, that deep, intimate knowing him. Are there any questions or comments on this? Yep.
A way, like, could you put it in this way, that everything matters, but what's above it all is him?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, sometimes I get confused with it doesn't matter, because it does matter, especially to him. It matters, just like you were saying when
Absolutely.
Ellie fell. Like, that matters to him, but above it all, he is in control.
Right. It's one way to think about it. It's deeper than that, and it's wider than that. I don't want to compare, like, say, for instance, how Ellie fell there to the tragedies that we see in this world, okay, on the one hand, and yet I'm going to do that. I don't want to say a little bumped knee is the same as a child in Thailand being trafficked, or a tumor, or heart disease. But it's this place of one day we'll see that he was in control of it all. I think of Joseph being in Potiphar's house and then in prison for like the total was about 13 years between the two places. And yet at the end of it, Joseph saw this was God. And it's not that God isn't compassionate towards Joseph being sold as a slave or being thrown in prison. He is compassionate towards it. And yet, in a way, it's like, oh, Joseph, you'll understand. Those 13 years, it didn't really matter. Like, as in, yes, I'm compassionate towards the fact that you're hurting, but I've got this. I hope, do you understand that? Does that make sense? I'm there for you. But we'll see. Maybe, boy, I'm butchering this, Lord. Forgive me.
Came to me just there was like it's not wasted time.
Right.
Especially, you know, in Joseph and even for many people with their sufferings, it's like, yeah, it's not a wasted time. It's not wasted experience because God is using it to work all things together for
maybe that's
good,
a better right? way but to put it. Like, it's nothing is wasted. It, yeah, because there's a whole heap of connotations with saying it doesn't matter, because that's not what I fully mean.
Like, the word redemption keeps coming to me.
Yeah,
you know, he redeems.
He does redeem it all, and he has a plan in it all. Yep.
It also reminds me of, like, the Israelites. God saw them in their slavery. It still took 40 years for Moses to actually come back and bring them out. But the whole thing was, like, there was a bigger salvation at the kind of at the end of it, right? Like, so their suffering did matter to God. He saw it. But then he had this, like, there was just this whole plan with it. And then eventually, so like when we're suffering, it's like, oh, there's still that hope and salvation still coming.
Yeah.
So right now, like you said, it's just, it doesn't feel quick, but it will, like it, our salvation ultimately is coming, I guess. Like,
right. That's just, and like, even as you say that, it's this place of one day we'll all look at it all and say, yeah, yes. Yes, like I'm glad that happened. It's like not just the 40 years, but there was 400 years as well, like where they're in slavery and all that kind of thing. Like, yes, I see it now. And Lord, not that he needs our affirmation or anything, but almost this place of like, so we can, this is for our benefit and so we can understand it. Almost this place of, Lord, I would have done it the same way. Like now that I know what you know and I see it from your perspective, even the horrid stuff, like, yes, yes, but not that he is ordaining, like, trafficking and that kind of stuff, but it's this place of, we'll all look at it and say, yes. She's got a follow-up, yeah.
Yeah, and just another thing that came to me is, like you said, like there's fruit in that, because actually I often think that the people who are like just suffering the most have such an opportunity to trust God.
Yeah.
Whereas if we're not suffering at all, how quickly we are like, oh, like I've got this and I don't really need God at all. And so, yeah, suffering just pushes us to him, right?
I think that is, I so love that you brought that up, because I think that is a key to understanding like what's going, like what God is saying to us today. We avoid suffering like the plague, and yet it is so beautiful. It's weird to say it that way, but it is so beautiful because it is such a key. It is the path to drawing close, and that's throughout Scripture. I can't teach on that today, but like, yeah, it's key.
Yeah, like a song came to my mind this morning when I was getting ready, and it's, I serve a risen Savior.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, he's risen. That's enough. Like,
that's enough.
But, and then the passage I read, Jesus is making claims, well, he's telling people about who he is, and he makes the statement, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And it ties right into Hebrews 11, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And then Jesus says, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So good. I love that Hebrews passage as well in chapter 11 there, where it talks about then, like it talks about these people who saw it from a distance, right? You were in chapter 11 there, right? And then it says, you know, these people who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, and shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead and raised to life again. And to that we say, yay, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But then it goes on. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world wasn't worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received. And then on to what you read there. And it's this place of, if we could talk to those people now, like they're in heaven now and they're there, and we might, in our worldliness, in our not worldliness as in our sinful worldliness, but even our present humanness, our human perspective, our limited understanding, we might say to them, oh, you were sawed in two? That's horrible. You were put to, oh, that's awful. You were thrown into the flames? That's awful. Oh, you were this, you were that, you wandered in the desert? Oh, and they would be, right now, in their present state, they would say back to us, what are you talking about? None of that matters. What matters is the glory that was poured out on us because of that. So it matters, yes, but because it brought us to glory. It brought us to a further understanding of God. But like, you're all sympathetic towards me going through that. That doesn't even matter. Actually, I look at it as, yay, thank you, Lord, for taking me through that. I wouldn't have said yay in the moment necessarily, but yay looking back, because it brought me closer to the Lord. And it revealed things that I would never have understood. So they would say right now, why are you concentrating on those things? That doesn't matter.
Yeah, I want to add to that. Like, yes, that is Scripture. And there are people who think like that today. And
yeah.
I was mentioning to Larry and Josh and Kevin, I would really like our Emmanuel Grace to watch a new film called Sheep Among Wolves that's coming out soon, and it's talking about the Iranian church, and it's amazing. Like, so I just heard them talk about it a little bit. I haven't seen it yet, but it's mostly women pastors who are leading the church, and they don't have like podcasts and things to learn from and stuff, and they're just like on fire for God and willing to take persecution. And one thing he mentioned was they realized that, you know, every day could be their last day, and they've talked about it with their spouses, and like, they're like they're, and another thing he said was they've all been sexually abused, like these leaders of the churches in Iran, the females, and yet they're willing to surrender their life to God, whatever it takes, they are doing it, and the church is growing. So,
yeah,
God.
It's there are people like that today. People in China, people in North Korea, people in Iran and Iraq, people in Afghanistan and Pakistan, our brothers and sisters in many of these closed countries, they understand the reality of what we're talking. And some of them understand it right now really well, so that we would go to them and say, oh, you poor thing, you're going through this. And they would say back to us quite literally, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm a poor thing. No. God has revealed himself amazingly to us, and we're actually praying for you, church in North America, because we realize how hard it is to know God when you don't suffer persecution. Let that one sink in. The Lord has this. The Lord is in control. What matters is what we will think about our lives 100 years from now. That's what matters. What matters is our heavenly perspective. That's what matters. Yeah.
The song we sang earlier that mentioned about all the, you know, histories and wars and kings that have come and gone.
Yeah.
And long forgotten, but the name of Jesus continues on, the King of Kings.
Yeah.
And, you know, even my atheist friends that I talked about have recognized that and go, yeah, there's something about that, he'll say.
Yeah.
And, yeah, yay God.
Yay, he is still on his throne. And so, in heaven, when we all get there, when we all see him face to face, there will be some in the body of Christ who had their prayers answered and they were healed miraculously. And there will be others who weren't healed and they succumbed to the disease. Or some were rescued from the flames and others surrendered their bodies to the flames. Some were rescued from persecution and others weren't. But you know what? All of us will be praising him. All of us. It'll be just this place of praise. And he will be on his throne. And we as people will enjoy his glory. All right, let me pray. I need to pray after a sermon like this for sure. Lord, I am absolutely positive that there were some things I said today that were not right. Or just they came out wrong. You know my heart. They were right in my heart. Because I see it. I see it in my spirit. But man, when it comes out of my mouth, I just don't do you justice. So I pray that your spirit would take these words and minister them to our hearts, to our spirits, to our emotions, to our minds. I pray that you would take the reality of it and speak it over us, Lord. I pray that any words that were like chaff would just blow away in the wind, that your spirit who is the wind, compared to the wind so often, you just blow it away, Lord. Just blow it all away. And may those things that are from you, that are good seed, would they find, those things find solid soil, good soil in us to grow. Lord, we seek your presence again. We seek your face. We want to know you more, not just experience you. Yes, we want to experience you too, but not only just experience you in a moment or that, we want to know you. We want to have your perspective, heavenly perspective. Give us heavenly perspective, Lord. Help us see like you see. Again, we pray for James and Amanda. We pray for Amber, Rob, and Judy. We pray for Mikey, Lord God. We pray for George's continued tests. And we pray for others who we've prayed for when they're in sickness or difficult circumstances. And Lord, we pray life. We do. But we want to make it known. We want to make it known. We want to declare this into the heavenlies for all the heavenly beings to hear this. We will praise the Lord no matter what. We will praise you if James and Amanda get back into Thailand and are able to continue to see people rescued. And we will praise you if they never set foot in Thailand again. We will praise you if Mikey is healed, whether that's miraculously or through doctor's wisdom that you've given them, Lord, through medicine and science, Lord, or whether you take him home, we will praise you. We will praise you no matter what the test results show, no matter what our bodies feel like. We will praise you no matter what. This coming election, we will praise you no matter who gets into office, because we know you are over all. We just want that to be known. We want to declare you are worthy of praise, period, no matter what. You are worthy and you are glorious. You are majestic and you are right and you are good. And we know you've got this. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen. Amen. Blessings.